All of these fears that I had were all pointless fears.
This is episode 61 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and you are just about to join a conversation between myself and Mr. Lee Jackson. And you're going to hear about 2 minutes of interview where we talk about him being a four-time guest on the show. And those astute listeners will know that this is actually only his third time. Anyway, we'll dive straight on in as he's going to drop a lot of value about running a live event. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And I think I've got my first four times guest on because you are that popular. Mr. Lee Jackson, how are you doing?
Four times? That's insane.
I think it's number four, yeah.
It's number four in a world where a guy didn't know too much about marketing. He came on a marketing podcast four times. That's amazing.
I think it's, you know, we're doing this as the intro, and then I'm going to find that this is only your third time, and there's only going to be links to two other podcasts in
That's
the show.
Fine.
But I think it's your fourth time, yeah.
Well, I'd be happy with third or fourth. So I love talking
whatever.
To you, mate.
Whatever, mate.
Always love hanging out with you.
It's always good to have you back.
In fact, whenever we talk, it's like a podcast interview, and we should just record all of our conversations.
I know.
Because we both come away with like, what?
We should do. And it's funny because people don't look at us that much when we sort of rock up in the same room together and say, hi, it's Pete Everett from the Marketing Development Podcast.
Hi and welcome.
Oh, you've got to love a DJ voice.
Oh, yeah, I really nailed that. 200 odd episodes in, mate, though. You're going to be like that soon.
Well, in another 3 years, yeah. I'll be there. So, Lee, you've just mentioned your own podcast, but Lee runs Angle Crown. He runs the Agency Trailblazer podcast. He's just done a live event. We're going to get into all of that in a minute. But do you want to sort of tell the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls at home, a little bit about what you do and who you are?
All right. Well, I am an entrepreneur. Gotta love that word. And I run several businesses. I run Event Engine, which focuses on event and conference organizers. And we build websites for them on a platform that we have made, which is freaking awesome. I also run the Agency Trailblazer podcast and that whole community helping that's design and web agency owners to fall in love with their business, to change their lives essentially and create a business that allows them to live as well as do what they enjoy. And I also run Angled Crown as well, which is my company for essentially outsourcing WordPress work to us. So if you're a design agency who does lots of design and other crazy stuff but doesn't really want to do all the WordPress stuff, then we're a fully outsourced white label WordPress agency as well. In my spare time, I also like to go to the back masseuse because I did my back in yesterday and she did an amazing job. So I'm now standing at the standing desk.
You're standing at the standing. It's better than sitting at the standing
exactly.
desk.
Exactly. It is, isn't it? Because I wouldn't be able to reach this microphone. In the spare time, though, I love things like music, hanging out with family. Family is the most important thing ever. So I get to hang out with family and also have really great conversations with my close friends, of whom Pete Everett is one of them.
Oh, you're very kind. You're very kind. Lee and I do hang out a little bit online. Maybe that's a lot online.
A lot of bit.
A lot of bit, indeed. So, now, last time you were on, you were talking all about your upcoming event, which was Agency Transformation Live, which I was very honoured to be on the stage and part of.
Oh, that was you? Oh, all right.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I wondered whose picture it was behind me. I know it was an awesome event, but how did it go? You were the organiser. How did it go?
It went way better than I could ever have anticipated. I mean, I didn't think it would go bad because we've got such a great community and I knew that the people who I'd invited on stage would go above and beyond, which everyone did, including your fine self with a great presentation on project management. So I knew I didn't really have to worry there, but it was more because I'd chosen a bit of a unique location, which was actually my church in Wellingborough. I was a little worried about that. I think I was getting the whole imposter syndrome, the idea of, I'm just a dude who goes to a church in Wellingborough that's big enough to fit, you know, 100 to 200 people in, and it's a nice venue. But, you know, most people expect a London event and, you know, they expect all of these things. So I was just comparing myself to all of the different events that were going on around me down in London, up in Manchester, in Birmingham, NEC and everything else like that, and getting this massive imposter syndrome. I knew the content was going to be good. I knew that the community were awesome, but I was just worried about where I'd chosen to do the event, etc. And also just worried about my own ability to carry everything through. It's easy enough, me and you, standing at my standing desk doing a podcast, and I can chat away to you, but can I carry that through for a full 8 to 10 hours for 2 days each? And, you know, all of these were starting to kind of worry me. But it went phenomenal. The community were wonderful. The location was perfect. Everybody said how much they loved the location because of the cheap hotels, the cheap food, and especially the cheap beer, because we're in Wellingborough, we're not in London, etc. And all of our feedback came back was, do it in the same location again, which was phenomenal. So all of these fears that I had were all pointless fears, because actually it went crazy good and it was a wonderful time.
You know, there's two things on that location thing that I spotted or I noticed whilst I was there for the couple of days.
Yeah.
So the first was that, you know, it's, well, as you just said, you know, you go to a church, that is your church. Mm-hmm. As people on the podcast know, you know, I go to church as well. So actually being in a church for me is quite a natural environment. I feel quite comfortable with it, all that kind of thing. But it was interesting seeing other people twigging throughout the weekend throughout the couple of days that, hang on, this is a church. And, you know, oh, do I need to watch my language? I'm in a church. And all of a sudden you could see that, you know, it wasn't, I don't mean it in a negative way at all. I just mean that, you know, people that normally feel so confident and comfortable, it was a little bit of a leveling factor that they kind of sort of thought, oh, hang on, it's in a church. So I thought that worked. I thought that worked really well.
It worked a charm, because, I mean, the entire story as well for me is that I was always struggling with my mental health and my business. Trying to run two companies was always a struggle, you know, for energy levels, etc. And then when I went to that church, the content of all of the talks, etc., was very much stuff that you could not only apply to your personal life. So instead of long, boring preachers, it was stuff that you could really apply, like how to manage your debts, how to manage your finances, you know, things like how to cope with your mental health, all this sort of stuff, really practical advice. And I was able to just put that into my business as well. Mm-hmm. And my businesses grew phenomenally because of the content that I was getting at that church. So it made sense to be able to bring everybody to my hometown, to the church that helped change my personal and my business life, and get everyone there. And it doesn't really look like a church that people would normally think of. In fact, if you think of those big US churches with a big building and tons of great lighting and video and all sorts of stuff like that, thankfully that's the sort of church I go to. So it's not one of those big steeples with lots and lots of wooden uncomfortable pews. For anyone who's just been thinking that the entire time, it was not that. We have really comfortable chairs. But yeah, that was definitely my biggest worry was, could I carry it, you know, through? It's not like a podcast. Can I carry it through? Because it's, you know, I knew everyone else would. And would people like the location being in Wellingborough, you know, in a building in Wellingborough, regardless of it being a church? It was just a big building in Wellingborough that no one's ever heard of. One guy contacted me a week before the event on WhatsApp and said, hey, I live in Chicago. I've just heard about your event. I'm booking a plane and coming over. Have you got any tickets left? I was like, yeah. And then I spent the whole time worrying about him. Thinking he's flying all the way from Chicago just to come to my church in Wellingborough. I'm a little bit worried about this now. He's, you know, if you think of all the big conference centers they have in Wellingborough. So the big thing, sorry, in America, the big thing you can learn from this, though, is if you do want to put an event on, it doesn't actually matter where the location is. You know, if the content of your event is what people need to consume, then they literally don't care. Yes, it needs to be clean and all of that good stuff and easy accessible, but it doesn't have to be in London. You don't have to blow a fortune, which I did not. And we actually created an event that I would say all of the feedback we've had has always been positive. We've had some great suggestions on what we can do for next year, but we've had no negative feedback, and we had the atmosphere and the life-changing transformations quite literally that happened in that place are phenomenal. And people's stories that have come afterwards have also been phenomenal. I've seen people already niching down, people already putting up their prices, people already rebranding, people already putting themselves out there on social media, launching podcasts, doing all sorts of stuff. And it's just mind-blowing that that's happened, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, no.
I get a bit overwhelmed when I think about it, like in a happy way.
honestly, it was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because you're a guest on the show. It was fantastic. And, you know, you and I have been to a number of conferences before. We've been to some of them together, in fact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was certain things about your event that just completely outstripped some of the big London ones that we'd been to. It was great to be in a place where you could get some natural light throughout the day, you know.
Well, thank you.
rather than coming out and reminding yourself what the sun is.
You're all like that vampires at the end of the day.
So, no, it really was cool. And that I arrived kind of sort of a few hours early the day before the event. Mm-hmm. And I came down to the venue and you were there. And literally this guy, Hans, who's the guy from Chicago. He was on his way, and it was literally the first thing that you told me. There's this guy from Chicago, and he's coming, and he's booked a plane. Is it good enough from a bloke from Chicago that's just coming in? And yeah, mate, it's all right. Calm down, chill.
Well, on that, the guy from Chicago said this was one of the best events he's ever attended. He's already coming back next year, and in fact, he's on stage next year with his wife, and they are doing a talk already for next year, which is phenomenal. So, and he was an active part of the event as well. So again, another lesson is don't listen to the imposter syndrome, because you're probably wrong, and I was absolutely wrong. to have listened and to have worried. I could have done myself a lot less stress.
It was brilliant. And I know you're updating the agency transformation website all the time. So if anybody wants to check it out, you can just go to peteeverett.com/agency-transformation. It'll forward you straight on. And it's been updated all the time with your 2020 speakers. And there's still some stuff from the 2019 speakers on there. And, you know, it's moving. So go and check it out. And, you know, we'll certainly be mentioning it nearer the time, because it is still about a year away. So yeah, it was 322 days, I think, the last time I was on there. You've got a helpful counter, which
that's very handy. Yes, the last time you were on there must have been today, because it is 322 days today.
All right, I might have looked at it just in preparation for this podcast recording.
I'm proud of you, mate. I know it off the top of my head because I am preparing for it, and it's not consuming me, but it's exuberantly exciting. And I have just checked the website. I need to reduce that number down to 10 super early bird tickets left as well, because we are running out fast.
There you go. So yeah. I was going to do this sort of near the end, but yeah, there are the tickets are available. All the pricing is on there, but there are 10 left as at this point in the time when we're recording this, of the super early bird tickets. So yeah, peteeverett.com/agency-transformation. It'll send you straight on, and I recommend you go and get your ticket. I will be there next year. I'm already booked in as a delegate, so I will be there. And it was great. It's also great just to meet people in person as well, and talk about that. So mate, let's just rewind. I know on your podcast you talk about going back in a time machine.
Yep.
So let's just go back in that time machine, not too far.
Painting.
Let's say till sort of September last year, September mm-hmm. 2018.
God, that's a long time ago.
It's only like 9 months. You'll, mm-hmm. you know. So September 2018. What was it, and why did you start thinking about putting on a live event for the people that are in your community?
All right. Well, it was actually a long time before September 2018 that I was thinking of doing it. So we were having conversations at the beginning of 2018. We launched our paid community, which was Agency Trailblazers. But at the same time, we were considering doing a live event even back then. Mm-hmm. But it was actually through conversations with the guys like Chris Ducker, etc., who's my mentor, that really just helped me push that one forward. There is only so much that people can do online on the internet. We all have these wonderful Facebook groups, of which people should be in the Marketing Development Podcast's Facebook group, obviously. Links will be in the show notes of this episode. Pete runs a great community. You know, we have all these Facebook groups, but there is something different that happens when you go to a meetup. You mentioned that me and you, we've been to several conferences together, including the Upreneur Summit, yep. And I always come away from something like that with business, because I've met clients, as in potential clients. I come away with amazing suppliers. And most importantly as well, I come away with a plan for the next steps of my business. So 2 years ago at Upreneur, I knew exactly what I needed to do to launch my membership community. And then again, from the last Upreneur, I knew exactly what I needed to do to scale my membership, but also to launch a live event. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, so by September, I was already ready to pull the trigger and tell everyone that this live event was going to happen. I wanted to get everybody in one place, share with them the five pillars of transformation, help them work out where they were on the journey, and then come away from that event with a plan. Yeah. I'm going to do this one thing, or this very few small things that are going to help me get big change in my business. I think a lot of the time we go to these massive conferences, don't we? And there's just so many ideas and we just come away overwhelmed. Yep. So I wanted to create something where people would specifically come to create an achievable plan for their business. They could work out where they were and then make a plan to solve, essentially to get to that next step that they needed to get to. And I thought the only way I'm going to do it is just by going for it, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. It's one of my biggest mottos in life. Feel the fear and do it anyway. You heard me talking about the imposter syndrome. I was also scared of losing loads of money on this and going bust. You know, all of the above, definitely had all those fears. But I thought if I don't try it, I'm always going to be thinking, what if I'd have done an event? And then eventually someone else had gone ahead and done it and I'd have been like, dope.
Yeah, giving yourself FOMO.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you're dead right. I know from the very first kind of big scale event that I went to was one of the Upreneur meetings one of the Upreneur conferences where I met you there. Mm-hmm. And I must admit, I was very dedicated to paying 110% in every session and making notes and taking photos of every slide and this, that, and the other, and was kind of completely on it. Yeah. And it was within 2 days, I was exactly what you just said. I was completely burnt out, completely overwhelmed, had taken on so much information that actually my brain had stopped processing it. And I was now looking at Evernote notes thinking, what the heck was that about? I'm not saying that as in detriment to Upreneur. There was a hell of a lot of really valuable content, but people are going to get different things out of events. And it's often quite good to go in there with a little bit of a plan, a little bit of a preparation as to, right, so I've put these 2 or 3 days aside. I know I'm going to be working on my business. These are the things that I want to get out of it. And actually, when you go in with a sort of bit of a preparation plan, a preparatory plan before you start, personally, I find I can get a lot more actionable stuff out of there. But you did it really well because you then had some mastermind times as well, didn't you? So that people could start actually putting these things down. There was a big board at the back where I forgot what you called it now. The
takeaway, the key takeaway board.
Key takeaway board. That was it. And people didn't put like fast food requests on there. However many.
I did think they were going to. I was honest because I'd written key takeaways. I thought people were going to put their Chinese orders on there as a joke, and no one did. I was very proud of everyone.
So, but you know, you did build into your structure these times where people could actually process. So it wasn't just there was a lot of speakers and there was a lot of stuff on the stage, but it wasn't just talking at you for two solid days. Now, for next year, you've then changed that. So there's a 2-day option and a 3-day option, isn't there?
Correct.
So do you just want to run through how that works?
Absolutely. So the way it worked was we had those five pillars, and then I kicked off the event with, these are what the five pillars are all about, and help people identify where they might be. We gave them a worksheet so they could work out where they might be. And then for all the 2 days worth of talks, we put these little pills against each talk saying, this talk will be covering, you know, pillar one and two. This one will be covering three and four. So it didn't mean don't listen to the other content. But certainly what it meant was if you've established that you are struggling with your identity or value or with maybe your platform or whatever that's going to be, then you need to pay special attention to that speaker. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing for the 2 days of 2020. Mm-hmm. But equally, we're then going to put, this was actually the feedback that we had from a lot of the people in the community. Not only had they worked out where they were on that spectrum, you know, oh, I'm here, I need to now, I understand my message and I now need to communicate my message to everyone, i.e. choose my platform, or I need to work on my identity. Whatever those steps were, people were excited to go away and do it. But the problem is now they've got to travel home and you know, catch up with the family and stuff gets in the way and you kind of lose that momentum. So the idea of the third day is to allow people to actually start to implement some of the stuff that they want to do. So we'll actually break the room out into kind of five areas and then people will essentially group together will have a lead for each one of those platforms, and then people will then start to implement some of the ideas that they have. There'll be some mini masterminds. There will be a couple of other talks as well to help inspire people. And again, food. But that's the idea there, is to actually help people start with the implementation, even if it's registering a Facebook account, because they're like, holy moly, I need a Facebook page. You know, register that Facebook page, get something on there, and that sort of stuff. So it'll be very much around implementation and strategies for implementation as well.
Cool. Now that is, I'm going to be around at the third day next year as well. I'm really looking forward to how that's going to work. We're jumping around a little bit in our time machine here, so let's get back on focus. So leading up to September 2018, you had this idea for a live event. You'd obviously put a lot of work into the structure and your five pillars. You knew what your messaging basically was going to be about.
Yeah.
So then the reason I chose September was because I knew you launched the advertising for this in October. Mm-hmm. So come to October, you're going to launch this event to the big wide world. You're actually going to put your name against it. You're taking that risk with your community, which I know you've done on a number of occasions before, and you've had that sort of brown trousers moment as you're about to announce something. I know you've been there. So how did you go about pitching this? How did you go about presenting it? What did you, you know, what did you get online? How did you do it?
All right. So the first thing was, I already have a community, so that helped. I already had an audience that I'd built up over time, so I was able to announce this to the audience, and people were then able to jump on board. So we had an amazing response from the existing audience. I have a podcast. I've built up credibility over the last three years or so, and that was obviously the no-brainer, was to announce this to the community, and the support we got was obviously phenomenal and super, super appreciated. However, you know, the community is only so big, and you can imagine there's all sorts of other products that are for sale, etc., online all the time. And I think sometimes we might feel that we jump in a Facebook group and then our wallet says ow because we've seen yet another thing from someone else that we can purchase. So I get that there's probably some fatigue in the communities at times of all the things that you could potentially buy that are going to help you change your business. And you're like, holy moly, I just want to do one thing. So, you know, so I certainly hit the limit of my own audience of people that would be interested in attending. And that's fine, because I only wanted the people who needed to attend to attend. Yeah. I wasn't actually after trying to get everyone there for the sake of making the money. So the problem was, therefore, I did need to grow my audience. So the following advice is really handy if you have an audience that's too small, or if you don't have an audience whatsoever. I'm going to tell you what we did. And I don't know if I told you last time, but this is essentially what we did. And it was Dave Toomey who helped me plan this out. He is a phenomenal Facebook and online strategist for social media. Mm-hmm. And he essentially helped me make this plan. It was essentially a three-month plan. And the first month was essentially to build the audience through Facebook retargeting. It's a very low-cost way of growing your pixels. So that you can start to build up a list of potentially interested people. You can warm those people up. So we started putting messaging out there that would attract the ideal target audience for this event. And mm-hmm. I built up a pixel based on people who liked the .NET magazine and Website Weekly, and people who had the business activities of a small business as opposed to people who liked small business. So we built up these custom audiences. We then targeted specific messages at them, and then for the people that clicked through to those messages, so they were either the website or maybe they'd be specific blog posts, etc., that would answer a particular problem, that would help mm-hmm. us to continue to build up that pixel. So that was month one. What we could then do is start to tell people in month two the content of Agency Transformation Live. So, you know, maybe we'd share them a specific speaker was coming. So for people who were kind of in the WordPress community, we were obviously pushing out that Troy Dean was going to be there. So, you know, we would, for some of those people, we'd put Troy Dean there. For some people who were following Chris Ducker, we'd be putting him out there. But equally, we'd be putting out some of the content as well to that pixel audience that we built. So instead of trying to just send a quote-unquote sales message, as it were, or tell people the content who'd never even heard of us. Mm-hmm. We were actually marketing this just to that pixel audience that we'd built. So we built a low-cost pixel audience. Then we started for a month. Then we started giving that low-cost pixel audience messaging about the event, which meant that the people that were clicking through were already aware of the brand, were already aware of us, and were already probably interested. And obviously they would then click through and go ahead and take a look maybe at the profile of Troy Dean, or maybe they would go and read the blog post, etc.
Yep.
And then finally, for the last month, we essentially did the countdown for the event. So there's an everyday countdown, and we were targeting people natively as well as through campaigns as well to those pixels, so that people knew that they were running out of time to buy their tickets. And we filled the room. We had over 80 people at the event, which again blew my mind, because I was thinking we'd probably get 50. But no, we had over 80 people in the room. It felt full, and we're obviously aiming for more for next year. And now that we have that strategy, and that was just a 3-month turnaround strategy, that means we've got plenty of time for this year to obviously do that same sort of strategy again, which is continue to build that pixel. So I'm already got the pixel now from this last event, but equally we can continue to build that. And the reason why you would do something at that sort of price point is to build up your pixel where you're not necessarily selling something, but you're providing something of value, like a blog post that solves a problem. It helps you to build that pixel audience, of which you can then show them other things. So we can then maybe direct them to the podcast next time as well, and to help expose our brand to those people who did like the .NET magazine or Website Weekly, or like to attend certain events about design, etc. And it's a very low cost way of getting our brand exposed to them, for them to hear of us. You know, we're talking about a few pence a click. And then when it comes to us then marketing something to them that we perhaps think will solve a problem and they'll need to part with some money for, they're way more likely to convert. And it's going to cost us an awful lot less per sale than it would do if we were just doing that cold. If I was trying to sell these tickets cold to people who like .NET Magazine, then perhaps my cost per acquisition would say be, you know, let's pretend it would be 50 quid a ticket. However, because I was sending this to people who I'd already warmed up, who'd already made aware, etc., then our cost per acquisition was something like £5 a ticket, which is phenomenally low, because we had been building up this audience and warming them up. So if you've just launched a podcast, or if you've not even launched a podcast yet, but you want to do something and you want to build an audience, folks, this is definitely a way that I was not aware. I did it the 3-year method of just word of mouth with my podcast, and that's what you've been doing as well, Pete, isn't it? Is just, you know, showing up every single day, single week, and being there in the community. But also, it was Dave Toomey that actually opened my eyes to the ability of using Facebook marketing and retargeting, which I presume can be applied to LinkedIn and Twitter as well. I've not even tried that yet. But, you know, that kind of process at a low cost to help build the community. You mentioned Upreneur, and one of the biggest takeaways I took from the very original one was that you need to be seen to sell in order to build influence. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that. That was actually the only note that changed my life from that event. Like you said, I had made loads of notes and everything, but that one thing I underlined, because I realized that if I'm going to help more and more people and build the influence in the community to help more and more people, then I'm going to need to put myself out there, you know, and actually charge. People need to invest, etc., so that they can invest in themselves and change their lives. And obviously I can grow, so I can help more people to grow as well. So again, you know, me investing in those sorts of campaigns help me grow my audience, which is a you know, phenomenal, because I'm now helping more people. And I met people at the event. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking forever here. Tell me.
No. It's great, mate.
I'm a podcaster's dream, mate. I could just talk for an hour. The cool thing as well is that people were at the event that I'd never met and I'd never spoken to in a Facebook group, because they had come through from Facebook retargeting, etc. So, you know, if you think of the journey, they've just liked once many, many years ago the .NET magazine, and now they're at my conference because we've been able to take them through that journey. And I honestly never believed in Facebook advertising until this event, and Dave Toomey told me all this. And in fact, if you listen to old episodes, I poo-poo funnels and I poo-poo Facebook advertising, and I tell people I understand nothing about it. And it took just a short session with Dave to change my mind and for us to actually apply this. It's phenomenal.
One of the key takeaways from this is that we can all go and play with stuff like Facebook advertising or LinkedIn advertising or whatever it is. But actually, you knew that it wasn't your area of expertise, so you then went and found somebody. Now, I know that you're good friends with Dave anyway, so so you didn't have to look very far, but you went and found somebody that knew what they were talking about, and you had a conversation with them, and they talked you through it, and they talked you through the premise, and you actually came out of that with a bit of a plan. One of the things we were talking about earlier was making plans, so you came out with a bit of a plan. And then you worked with that person to actually put that plan, that strategy in place. And hey presto, you actually saw some return from it at the other end.
That
when you say it in 30 seconds like that, it sounds bloody obvious, but when you're actually sitting in front of the computer and you're playing with your own pounds and pence, you don't always think that way. So I think that's the first key takeaway is, you don't have to be great at everything. Because you've got your specialism and I've got mine and Dave's got his, and you know what, you went and spoke to the right person because you went and spoke to Dave. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that is to do with this lateral thinking, to do with who you want your audience to be and how you can potentially engage with them. And, you've mentioned things like .NET Magazine and WordPress Weekly and that kind of stuff. Because that is your specific target audience. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things our content writers do when they're, our copywriters, when they're looking for a blog posts and stuff like that for some of the clients that we do content marketing for, is they will do an image search based on a topic, a keyword, so it might be, lease lines, right? And then they will do an image search based on lease lines and then put the word magazine after it. Mm. And what you then get is a full Google image search full of all of the magazine covers that include part of the topic that you're looking for. And you know what? I mean, these guys use it because they, people spend a lot of money on editorial to get headlines on covers. So we can extract sort of themes and whatever ideas from it for content. Mm. But actually, you'll get the names of the magazines. So if you then want to start building your audience and using a similar technique to what Lee's just done, go and do an image search like that. Go and see if these magazines have audiences on Facebook. And once they're above a particular size, they will be then registered as an interest, which you can then start targeting to. So, it's using magazines, weirdly, is a really great way of identifying your audience and targeting them online.
You know what? I didn't even think of doing that. So I only used the two magazines that I knew about because I read them both. But I've just done a Google image search whilst you were talking, and I was like, holy moly, I didn't even think of half of these. There's the Web Design Index. There's also one here. I've just lost it on the screen. There's the How magazine, which apparently covers a lot of design-related topics as well, which is interesting. I never even knew that. There's a print magazine, which is, again, all designers. I've lost another one as well. Where was it? And I was like, I never... Oh, yeah, here we are, like Design and Arts magazine. These are all UK-based magazines as well, which is great. So, yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I can pop these into my little pipeline.
Absolutely. And it's, not all of them may be on there because they do have to be over a particular size, but you know what, it won't take you long to find 3, 4, 5, half a dozen, whatever, that just help you expand your reach a little bit. But that's something we've been doing for years pretty much. And it's the thing is, the reason that magazines work is two ways. First thing, as I said, people employ people to write the headlines that go on the front of magazines. So they are highly written editorial content. And secondly, the people that buy those magazines, it's a bit like having a low-cost conversion because, they're paying, £3.50 a magazine or £4 a magazine, whatever it is, to actually consume that content anyway. So if you can hook into that, that the people that read that magazine, that are interested in that magazine, spend £3 a month reading the flipping thing. So they're already, when you look at some of these funnel guys, they talk about having low cost conversions first. Well, actually, you've kind of already got it because they already buy the magazine. So we've used that as a successful way of generating content and finding inspiration for years.
One of the things I learned as well from this was the idea of a small business owner, I didn't realize there was behaviors versus things people like. So people might like small business owner, but then anyone could like that. Whereas Facebook have algorithms for behavior. And the other algorithm they have as well is for engaged buyer, which is relating to what you were talking about. So you can actually make sure that within your pixel, when you're doing the sales messages, etc., that you are putting those particular sales messages in front of people who are engaged buyers, i.e. they have interacted with other similar advertisements in the past and perhaps even converted, which is also really good to help lower the cost of your overall Facebook campaign. So we were spending essentially up to £5 a day for 90 days. So if you add all that together, I think that's cheaper than putting a full page ad in a magazine, which may or may not have converted anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even if it did convert something, how would you track that conversion?
Exactly, I'd have no clue.
Yeah.
That's not to say that for certain industries, advertising in a magazine is not a good plan. So, for example, my other business is in the events industry. There are some industry rags for the events space that everybody reads and consumes. So putting our advertisements in there makes sense because of brand awareness.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not to poo-poo magazines. But at the same time, I was, you know, as a small event testing this idea with not a huge budget because it was a massive risk, this was an amazing way for us to be able to expand our existing audience and be able to get people bums on seats at our brand spanking new event that had, you know, it had no brand equity other than my past history, as it were. It'd never been done before, so it was scary, yet using low-cost Facebook advertising really did work.
There you go. So, you know, if you're thinking about looking at Facebook advertising, thinking about how you can grow your audience, I must admit that some of the stuff you've been saying about what you're doing in month one about building your audience, and I've been like making notes.
I could hear you typing. I didn't want to say.
that's because I'm not at a standing desk, I'm at a sitting desk. The keyboard is about 4 centimeters behind the microphones. I'm trying to be as quiet as I can.
Yeah, busted.
But if you're thinking of doing it, first job is go and speak to somebody that flipping well knows what they're talking about. And secondly is, you know what, commit to a process. And it doesn't have to be a massively long process, but just a couple of months, 2-3 months with a kind of nominal budget, but a budget that you commit to actually starts to demonstrate results. And I think that's a really, really great takeaway. So you advertised it, you started getting the orders in. We won't go through how to put landing pages and stuff together because that's not really what this part of this podcast is about, but you got your bookings, and then people miraculously turned up.
That was the other thing I was worried, like if people wouldn't turn up, like they'd buy the tickets but then think, oh, actually I'm too busy and I've got something else to do, but actually everyone turned up.
That was really cool. I know,
so
I saw Larissa.
We had 99.99% attendance. I think one person couldn't attend because there was a family emergency. Everyone else attended.
Right, wow. I mean, that's incredible. I remember seeing Larissa on the first morning, standing at the entrance registration sort of desk, and she had all of these sort of name badges, and she was like, I don't want Lee to see these. Anyway, one by one, sure enough, they disappeared.
Yeah.
So it was all good.
that was also a massive relief. Oh my gosh, there are so many things, isn't there, with regards to imposter syndrome and that worry. All that stress I put myself under, and I needn't have. I mean, it does show you care, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'll be like that next year as well. I'm sure I'll have plenty to worry about because I want it to go right, and I want people to get something out of it. I want it to change people's lives. So, you know, it meant a lot to me that people turned up and that they were able to take action. But yeah, I could probably be a bit easier on myself next year.
Yeah. You were in panic station mode. I think between Mike Killen, myself, and Dave Toomey, I think we were kind of tag teaming just to keep you back down onto planet Earth.
That's right.
You know, we do 20 minutes each and then pass you on to somebody else.
little hugs and pats on the back. You can do it.
No, mate, it was awesome. So just sort of bringing this into land. Two things to say. Firstly, is that since the event, you have done a show on your own podcast about how the event went, the things that you've learnt, even the things, I thought you were really honest actually, the things that didn't go so well, you know, you put those out there, and these are the things you're going to change for next time. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Guys, make sure you go and check it out. And then secondly, do you want to sort of give us what is the blurb for next year? What have we got to look forward to?
What is the blurb for next year? Yeah. Well, it's more of the same, because the great thing about the agency transformation message is it's split into those five stages. I think we actually chatted about what they were in a previous episode as well. So if you put the show notes in there, I won't regurgitate that. But in short, we're talking about the changes in any business. It doesn't necessarily have to be an agency owner, although this is targeted at agency owners, is first of all understanding your identity. So that's who you are, the problems you solve, who you solve them for. Then working into your value, recognizing the value of your work and the value that people will get from it. All of this enables you then to understand your messaging, which therefore allows you to put that out there, which is your platform. As you grow, you want to improve your output, and obviously your output with regards to, you know, managing projects, processes, all of that sort of stuff, you want to be looking towards your future as well. So that's with regards to how are we going to scale this and all of that sort of good stuff. So by creating that framework for the event, this allows us to repeat that sort of framework on a yearly basis, because there are going to be new people who come next year who are still at the stage of identity and value. Equally, though, there are people that came this year that have nailed their identity and their value, but they're now trying to work out their platform, and they're going to get to hear from specific speakers. So that's what we're trying to create, is something that can continue to help people. So even if someone's been at stage five, which is scaling then for several years, they can keep coming back to the conference and getting new techniques for scaling and talk with other business owners and even help other business owners as well. We learn so much by teaching other people, and one of the things I saw at this event was that although people had come to learn for their business, they were also helping other people who were maybe a stage behind them, and I can hear them having conversations, which was one of the most emotional parts, I think, of the whole event for me. I could hear them advising people who were maybe one or two stages behind them, and sitting with them and making notes together and looking at their website, etc., and actually coaching those people who were maybe one or two stages behind them. And that was very, very powerful, seeing that in the room. So I'm hoping that that's something that we can continue year on year. We're also going to be doing some specific masterminds as well. So that's mid-year masterminds, etc., through the year. Mm-hmm. So there will actually be another get together before 2020, which will be awesome. I'm not going to announce dates yet, but I will let you know, mate, so that you can come along. But we are going to do kind of a small one day to keep that momentum going, and also just to allow people to kind of do a bit of a sanity check. What did they learn? What have they implemented, and what do they need some help with?
Brilliant, spot on. So I haven't quite got a scoop on that one then, but just sort of a hint of a scoop. All right, cool. Well, mate,
vanilla flavor at the moment.
you can certainly let me know, and I'll share it to our community. But mate, you're in our community, so feel free to drop the stuff in there yourself as well. You know, you don't. We will always support you, and because you just do such a great job,
mate.
So how can people get in touch with you or find you online should they want to?
Before we do that, I've got a question for you.
Ooh.
Let's flip this. So you
hang on a minute.
No, come on. You got to allow me to do this, because this is something people can learn from you as well. So okay. I approached people who have not necessarily stood on stages and taught loads of people. I don't know what your full experience is, but for you, I feel like this was a conference. You had 80 odd people stood in front of you. You had to fill 30 minutes mm-hmm. on project management. And obviously I asked you as well out of the blue, having never seen you on stage before, but I just had a lot of faith and a lot of trust in you. Yep. How did you feel about that? And what did you learn by coming down, saying yes, and coming down and sharing your knowledge with everyone?
Right. So the way that this process actually worked was you invited me to speak at your event, and I was very, very pleased to do so. And I have done some public speaking before.
Yeah.
So actually the being on stage bit, and as I said earlier, you know, being in a church bit, I was perfectly happy with doing all of that. That wasn't so much of an issue.
Yeah.
You then asked me for a list of things that I could talk about potentially. Mm-hmm. And I gave you a list of, I don't know, four or five of them, whatever it was. And you came back to me and said, oh, would you mind doing project management, because you did something in our community about it a while ago. And I was like, mate, what are you doing? I look at all of these sexy topics over here, and you want project management?
Very practical.
If that's what you want, that's what you get. So the reason I say that is the challenge for me in many respects was that as a as a somebody that has sort of particular areas of expertise, I kind of naturally rely on those when people say, can you talk about this? Can you give us some more information about that? And project management isn't necessarily one of them, but it is something that I do every day. So,
and do very well, but you don't recognize that.
Thank you very much. No, I appreciate that. So the for me, one of the biggest things I got out of it was actually sitting and looking at a part of your business or an activity that you do day in and day out and don't really think about it all. I don't mean you don't really think about it. You sort of get the feeling about it,
yeah,
and it just sort of happens. And then breaking that down into chunks and finding some analogies to go with it and actually making it entertaining and all of that kind of stuff. Putting it into, Troy Dean talks about breaking stuff down into sort of nuggets so that they become easy to remember. So actually going through that process about something that you feel like you know inside out actually did improve my own project management, because I thought, oh hell, it should really work like that, and it doesn't, and it isn't doing that because I haven't really been thinking about it all that much. So actually, that for me, the biggest thing I got out of it was actually deconstructing project management and then reconstructing my own project management following my own advice.
The best way to learn is to teach.
indeed. So that for me, that was it.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of starstruckness about being on the stage with certain people there.
Yeah.
And I think we all get that. The other thing that was really weird for me was it was my first experience of being somewhere after I'd launched the podcast, of having my name on a bill after I'd launched the podcast. So having people come up to me and saying, I listen to you every week. Hey, how's that going? Because you mentioned it on like a show 3 weeks ago. That sort of blew my mind a little bit.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it was really great. And I'd be back in a heartbeat. It was awesome.
Cool. Sorry to throw that one on you. I know that's you were winding down for a close. But I was just interested how it was, because I was very conscious that I trusted everyone. I've never seen you public speak. I know that you're a confident guy. I know your onions. So I had no issues doing, you know, asking people. But I just wondered what it was like being on the receiving end of, hey, will you speak at my conference? And we have all these people on stage. And I know I'd have been scared. I was scared. It was my event. But I mean, you know, because Troy Dean opens up and I'm like, holy moly, you know, this is Troy Dean.
Oh, you know, I was sitting there. So I was on day one, the same as Troy. Yeah. And you know, you'd rightly so asked for our slide decks a new number of days before the event and all that kind of thing. Mm. And I did this. I had this slide in my presentation where I likened your agency to a car, and I'd kind of, you know, assigned different bits of the car to the agency. And project management, I basically had as the gearbox. So, you know, how quickly and how securely things can pass through your agency. And it all made sense. Troy steps up like 2.5 hours before I'm due to go on stage. His analogy is your agency's like a plane. And I'm like,
oh no.
How much more cool is that than a car? You know, I can't compete with that. What? Anyway, it was too late by that point. I just had to let it roll. But yeah. No, the experience of doing it was really great. And there were also things that I learned from doing it as well to do with just some of the practical things about, you know, making slides, things to do with how to lay out your slides and making them a bit more engaging. And it's funny when you go to an event and you're there with a slightly different responsibility of just delegate, you start to view other things other people do in different lights. And you know, you're right. You do pick out the sort of the Troy Deans and the Chris Duckers that do this all of the time and think, right, okay, so how do they actually do it? You actually sent me a Chris's presentation a few days before. Can you remember? Because it was in a format you couldn't open without having a Mac.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up with a copy of Chris's presentation. So I must admit, before I deleted it, I did go through and think, oh, right, so he does it that way, does he? and he's got that. Right, okay, I'm going to remember that. So, it was great.
Oh, awesome. Anyway, I'll let you do your wrap up now. I was just interested. That was a selfish question.
that's all right. We could always edit it down.
No, keep it in. It was fun. People will
learn. No, I'm kidding. So, how can people reach out to you if they want to track you down?
Awesome. If you want to track me down, the best place to go would be agencytrailblazer.com.
Fantastic.
And join the Facebook group as well, and or wherever. Add me on Facebook, all that sort of good stuff. Anglecrown.com is a good place as well, I guess, if you want to send me messages to my email, leah@anglecrown.com.
There you go.
All of that good stuff.
We won't spam that out at all. It's absolutely fine.
That's fine. I draw the line at my mobile number there.
Cool, mate. Thank you so much for spending your time talking to us today. It's been great.
No worries. Have a good one. Cheerio.
Cheers. You're a legend. It's always great to have Lee on the show. And Lee, let's get another appointment in the diary so that we can rerun that interview. And it really will be your fourth visit. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/061. And if you are thinking of running a live event, or you just want to talk about putting on an event in your niche, or even simply niching down, head on over to the Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. And let's have a chat about it in there. We'll see you next week.